All right, we are live here at Twin Peaks for the pregame show here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Jared Stillman, Derek Mason, former Titans receiver Chris Sanders, as the Titans get set to take on the Texans today. Bunch of big games already going on here at Twin Peaks, home of the 29-degree drafts out here again at Twin Peaks. But the big news today is that Malik Willis is in. Ryan Tannehill is out. Some say it's with an ankle injury. Some say it's with an illness that he suffered during the week. Make of that what you will. Tannehill out, Malik in for the Texans. Derek Mason, how do we feel today?
Tell them how you feel.
I still feel that the Titans are you know, the team that should win. They knew exactly what was situation with Ryan Tannehill. The likelihood of him playing was very slim. So they catered their game plan, everything, to Malik Willis, which means to me a lot of Derrick Henry, a lot of rollouts, a lot of things that you know, allows him to use his legs as well as getting outside the pocket and not minimizing his targets to one or two guys. And not having him read the whole field, so I've always said that Vrabel is a guy that if you give him one game that he has the game plan for, just one, he's gonna put together a really good game plan and come out of victorious. He's a one off. He's one of those guys that is a one off. When he has a bunch of injuries, he can put together a game plan that will win them that specific game.
Yeah.
That you know, guys are not playing it. He's the best at that I've seen over the last 5 years.
Yeah, I'm not really worried about this game. And the reason why I'm not is because, you know, the Titans defense always keeps them in the game. And I'm not saying they're going to be behind. You know, yeah, I know everybody's concerned about the Willis situation. The one thing I don't want him to do is make him do something that he's not comfortable with. You got to put him in a comfortable position. That's rollouts. You know, don't make him a pocket passer. Do what he does well. Use his athleticism. Let him make plays with his legs. Don't let him sit back there and have to go through a read and have a go through one, two, and three, and four. Just let him drop back. If it's not there, let him run the ball. So I just think that don't try to recreate the wheel. Just go out there with Willis and then win with your defense.
So I don't feel as comfortable about this as you guys do. In fact, I don't feel good. I'll be honest with you. I don't feel good about this at all.
Stop it.
I'm telling you. And I'll tell you why. Training camp, right? Mm-hmm. I went to, you know, pretty much every training camp practice, watched all the preseason games. Malik Willis cannot consistently take the snap from under center. At least he couldn't then. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not going to make an assumption as to how much better he has or hasn't gotten. Now, I'm not going to make an assumption either that he can't take the snap from under center anymore after 7 weeks of practicing it without me watching. Mm-hmm. But in the preseason, the last thing I can go off of, training camp practice against the Cardinals. They go into a two-minute drill. The first two-minute drill they go into, Malik Willis throws the ball away on fourth down. The second two-minute drill they go into, Malik Willis throws an interception on the third pass. So I get the idea of, you know, hey, if they just run the ball and they play defense, great chance that they won't have to have Malik do anything. But the Titans have won. Every game's been close. Mm-hmm, so we're supposed to think that it's not going to come down to the quarterback having to make a couple of plays here and there. And I just haven't seen Malik Willis do enough of not turning the ball over, of, you know, not seeing guys that are there and throwing it to a defensive back, to being able to take the snap under center, to be able to operate the offense. He fumbled the ball last week. He got it for one play. So I am so incredibly nervous about today's game because I just haven't seen Malik Willis do anything that would lead me to believe that Malik Willis is ready for this.
Well, Jared, I mean, he's going to come out and he's going to make mistakes. That's just the way it is. Every quarterback that has come out, whether they've been the first pick of the draft or the last pick in the draft, when they've gotten their opportunity to play and start, they've done some boneheaded things. They've done some rookie things. They've done some inexperienced things. So I expect him to do some rookie things, some inexperienced things. But I hope it's not. I hope they don't put him in too many of those positions where it hurts the Titans. They understand the same thing that you're talking about. You know, they're concerned about the same things you're talking about, Jared. They're concerned about the same things I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
That's why they need to minimize what he does. Don't put him in a position where he has to, you know, make that third or fourth read. Put him in a position to succeed. You got
If he can't take the snap, we're in trouble. He can take the snap. How do you know that?
And if he does it, how do you know not?
Put him in shotgun.
Because
he has taken snaps underneath the center.
I am totally open to the idea that where Malik Willis was at the end of training camp and where he is now are two totally different places.
Absolutely.
You know, you guys have lived that because you did it with Joe Flacco when he was a rookie coming out of Delaware.
You did it with Steve McNair
when he was coming out of Alcorn State. So you guys have been through this. But all I can go off of is what I saw from Malik Willis. Hey. And when I saw that Arizona practice against the second team Arizona defense, he threw the ball away on fourth down of a two-minute drive.
That was training camp, buddy.
That's a right.
Okay.
So if you're not going to do it right in practice, I'm supposed to assume he's going to do better
that's
in a game?
He's a rookie. It was a rookie mistake.
Hey, he acted like he's been in the league for 12 years.
Now, if that was Woodside doing that, then we got a problem.
Absolutely.
I mean, but it was his rookie. Here's where I disagree with you.
I'm fine with mistakes, right? I'm fine with, you know, a rookie's going to make mistakes. That's fine that he's a rookie in training camp and he's the backup or he's the third string guy and he's going to make some mistakes. And that'll be – he ain't the backup today. It doesn't matter to the Houston Texans that he's a rookie today. If he throws the ball away on fourth down today and they lose the game, we're not going to sit when it comes to the playoffs and say – well, but, you know, he was a rookie, so
You don't think they corrected that, though?
If he's not going to throw it away again on fourth down in the game.
And then going to say, oh, you good.
Yeah.
You good. They're going to correct and say, don't throw it on fourth down. I think the most important person in this game is Todd Downing.
That doesn't make me feel good.
Okay, but he's got to, just like what Derek said, you got to put him in position.
Worst coordinator in football and made me feel good about it. 31st offense in the league. Most important guy is Todd Downing. Here we go.
100% because he's got to make him feel comfortable. Don't make him do a five and step drop because he's not used to that. Use his athleticism, do some rollouts, some naked, some boots, and let him make some plays. I mean, that's all you can do. I don't put it in his hands to where it becomes a shootout. And if he becomes a shooter, then that's when it's going to be in trouble. Then I'll be on your side. But other than that, man, just use athleticism. Put him in shotgun. Forget about going on the center. He doesn't do good when he's on the center.
Hey, listen,
put him in shotgun.
So I'm going to run the ball with Derrick Henry, and I'm going to have him be in shotgun every play.
You're going to have to. That's what Todd Downing's going to have to.
Oh, no.
Believe me, the Tennessee Titans, if they didn't feel that he was capable of starting, they would have elevated Woodside and made Woodside starter.
Yep.
That's just the way it is. I've been in those locker rooms. They don't feel that backup is ready, rookie or not. They're going to elevate the next guy. They want to win football games.
100%.
They believe in him enough that he can take the snap from underneath center when he needs to. But more than likely, they're going to have him in shotgun, running stuff out of shotgun, which suits him better. Not to say he can't take snaps underneath center. But, again, we're going to put this young man in a position to succeed.
That's it.
And the position to succeed is, well, half the time we're in shotgun, and then half the time we're underneath center. Again, Jared, if they felt he couldn't take snaps underneath center, they wouldn't even have him out there. Now, that doesn't mean he may not bobble a snap or whatnot, but who does that? Who doesn't
do that? Out there. Let me use this Caleb Farley's example. They put Caleb Farley out there in training
camp. That's because they had to.
Racy McMath was running by him in practice, right?
You hate him, don't you?
So McMath was running by Farley. Okay. Yeah. Then they get into preseason games. Scotty Miller, Tampa Bay, is running right by Farley in the preseason, right?
Yep.
Vincent Smith, some guy Tampa Bay cut on Monday after they played on Saturday, runs right by him in a preseason practice.
Uh-huh.
Farley plays the first game. Stephon Diggs runs right by him. Farley plays the next game. And the guy from Indianapolis, Pierce, runs right by him. Farley plays the next game against Washington and runs right by him. And it's like, well, if they didn't think that these guys would run right by him, they wouldn't put him out.
Why did they have to put him out there? They have no depth. They had no reason. They had to put him out there.
Why are they putting Willis in there?
They don't have to put him in there. They got Woodside. They got Woodside.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Hey, Willis brings another dimension. And when I say another dimension, he runs with the ball. If Woodside gets blitzed, he can't run the football. I mean, I would – D-Max, let me ask you a question because you play wide receiver, right? If you had to pick a quarterback right now, would you pick Woodside or Willis?
I would go with Willis. Woodside can't extend the play.
That's supposed to make me feel better.
I'm not saying it's supposed to make you feel better or not, Jared. We're just giving you facts.
Yes.
We're just letting you know. These are the circumstances, okay, that we're in. Now, we're not saying it's supposed to make you feel better. I'm not not saying that.
Let me say this.
Come on, man.
I am not ruling out that Malik has improved by leaps and bounds since when, you know, we last saw him in the preseason. I'm not ruling it out. I wouldn't know. You wouldn't know. You wouldn't know.
True,
they
true.
Don't let us, you know, go to practice and watch the meat of practice. You guys didn't go to the alumni practice, did you, last week?
No.
No.
Okay, so they don't let us watch, like, the meat of what happens at practice. So there's no way to know. And he is running the scout team. And I heard somebody say, well, you know, he's not really developing running the scout team. I'm like, what? I'm like, he gets to play against the first defense every day. I
who
think
said he doesn't? He can't develop on a scout team?
I forget who. I'll tell you later.
Parker Husky.
No, worse. But I
said Paul wouldn't say that because Paul knows better than that.
But I go back to, you know, he might be a lot better. But if he's what he was at the end of the preseason, the Tennessee Titans are in trouble today against the Houston Texans. That's all I'm saying. And for Chris to say that the reason I should feel better about it is because of Todd Downing,
No, I didn't say that. I said he's got to be. I said he's got to be important. I didn't say you feel better. I said he has got to put him in position to make sure he feels comfortable. If he does that, then maybe he can make some plays. I'm not saying with his arm. I'm saying with his legs, have some rollouts, boots, and do things that he is familiar and comfortable with. Now give me a hug.
The Titans are. This was bound to catch up with him.
Yeah.
All of the injuries, the bad drafting, and you know,
the backup quarterback for 3 years behind Tannehill.
Exactly. So now you have to, you know, you have to depend on a rookie quarterback, which he's going to make rookie mistakes in his first full game. But they got to put him in a position where he feels comfortable. That's it. If it's running the ball with Derrick Henry and Dontrell Hilliard, a combined 40-some times, then that's what you do. If you want to, you know, do the misdirection and run it with Willis, then that's what you do. You put together a game plan that's conducive to your quarterback's ability to play the game. And his ability to play the game at this particular moment in his career isn't like Ryan Tannehill's. Yep. So they got to do things that fit what he does. They're going to be underneath center some. I don't expect them to be underneath center a lot, but they're going to have to because they got to run Derrick Henry. So they're going to be – I think it's going to be a mix of underneath the center, being in shotgun, being able to run the offense, quick pass, rollout. They're not going to try to do anything down the field unless it's a rollout.
And I think, too, what they're going to do is let him use his feet a lot. And when I say use his feet a lot is – going empty formation and run a lot of draws. You're going to see a lot of draws now, I'm telling you, with a quarterback draw. So I just think that with Todd Downing, I know every time I say his name, you cringe, but he's got to figure out a way to make sure that he's calm in the pocket, try to make some plays. Now, I'm not saying in the passing games, but roll out and make some plays with his feet.
Coming up next, we'll take a look at the four biggest storylines of the game, which is probably the one big storyline of today's Titans-Texans game. We'll move the chains with TriStar Moving. By the way, I do not feel any better after that, I see you guys. But do you guys feel any worse about Malik starting at quarterback today after our first segment?
Do I feel worse?
Yes.
No, I don't. I feel the same.
I feel about the same.
Okay, good. We'll do that coming up next. It's the pregame show live from Twin Peaks out here in Cool Springs, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Drawing to win that football jersey. It is time now to start with the four biggest stories of today's game. We move the chains with TriStar Moving, my official movers. TriStar Moving with five-star service, and of course we start at first down. Malik Willis in at quarterback today for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
Here's my first question. We start with this, Chris Sanders.
Yes, sir.
Steve McNair was considered a raw rookie out of Alcorn State. They said it was going to take time for him to be ready. Chris Chandler was the starting quarterback. Ryan Tannehill, probably very similar to Chris Chandler in their career arcs and paths. Right. If he was out and Steve McNair had to start, Take us through how far along you think Malik Willis is right now in his development and his ability to play quarterback.
You know, Mac, when his first year, because we got drafted the same year in 1995, and I watched him kind of elevate into a complete, you know, quarterback. And Derek could know more than this to me because he played with him at Baltimore. But I just watched him mature as understanding the game. When he first came in, he was basically a running quarterback that had a great arm and that was basically fast. But once he understood where his pressures were coming from, you know, not to make mistakes and understand what his security blanket was. And when I say security blanket, that means, like, if nothing's open, you go to the guy that's running the flare route or running, like, a choice route, and that's kind of like Wycheck. So I watched him to develop, and I think that with Malik Williams, that's the same thing with Malik. Just give him chance to develop. I know, you know, he came out of Liberty. He's a running quarterback, and, you know, he makes mistakes and all these things. But the one thing that I love that the Titans did with Steve McNair is they were patient with Steve. And the same thing with Malik Willis. They have to be patient with this kid. But the one thing also that I want to understand is they got to put him in position to make sure he makes plays. And that's what they did with Mac, and that's what they need to do with Malik Willis.
Well, whatever they do. And I wasn't here with Mac when he
Joe Flacco when he was a rookie. Yes. Where was he in the development process?
I think Joe was a little bit further along than Malik. Why? Because Joe was the number one pick, so they wanted to get him reps very quickly. And he wasn't supposed to be the starter coming into the season. It was supposed to be Troy Smith. Troy Smith ends up getting, you know, really, really sick, had to be admitted to the hospital, lost like 20 pounds. Don't know what was wrong with him. He was in the hospital for about a week or two. And Joe became the starter. But even with Joe, they condensed the offense, and we became quick pass, and we became a running team. We were already a running team. We became even more of a running team with Joe Flacco until Joe started to get some experience. It took him, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 games to really feel comfortable as a quarterback. Malik Willis doesn't have that opportunity. You know, he didn't have the opportunity of getting first team reps because he was the first pick, you know, he was a first round draft pick. He doesn't have those advantages that Steve McNair had or that Joe Flacco had. He was basically taking scout team reps, which he still was learning. But he wasn't throwing it to the guys he's going to be throwing it to today. So my thing is, he's going to have his growing pains. That's just what it's going to be. But it will be very, very critical for Downey, going back to what Chris said, it's going to be very critical for Downey, his game plan, to set it up as such that this kid – isn't allowed to make many mistakes.
Right. Yeah.
You know, don't put him in a situation where he has to call out blitz and read blitzes and worry about this guy coming, that guy coming, then read 2 or 3 guys. No. Put him in a position you match protect. The blitzes are picked up. 1-2-man routes. Throw it. If it's not there, throw it away. Eat it. Live with, you know, run out the pocket. Live to you know, fight another day. But they can't put him in a position where he has to be Ryan Tannehill, because he's not Ryan Tannehill from an experience standpoint.
And I think Les Steckel did a great job with Steve McNair. Is what he did is he was always talking through what was going on. And I think the key to this whole game is when Malik Willis comes to the sidelines, he needs to get that pad and take a look at what's going on and say, okay, this is what's going on. Take this read with the safety. This is the corner blitz. Whatever it is, talk him through it. Not get impatient with him. Talk him through what's going on, so he can start to see it for himself. And when he starts to see it for himself, then that's when they make plays. And that's the same thing with Mac. When Mac starts to see it for himself, then that's when he was comfortable to make those plays with his pad, with his legs, and also, you know, throwing the football.
Do you have any anticipation that he'll be able to see things for himself today at this early stage in his career?
I mean, I think the only way he's going to learn is when he makes mistakes. I mean, I know that's kind of cliché-ish, but if he makes those mistakes and he comes to the sidelines and tied down and says, okay, look, at the safety, you know, the pressure's coming this way, then now he's cognitive. Okay, I know what's coming, as opposed to guessing what's coming.
That takes us to second down. That takes us to Malik's future. Malik was taken in the third round, but he was the second third-round pick the Titans made in the 2022 draft, Nicholas Petit-Ferrer the first. So it isn't as if the Titans sold out their franchise in order to get Malik Willis. Been a lot of talk about what happens to Ryan Tannehill after the year. The Titans can move on from the contract. D-Mace, what do we make of the potential possibility that is in front of Malik Willis today?
I mean, it's great for him, you know, because I think regardless of how this thing plays out, whether he plays, I don't think he's going to play poorly. Well, I don't anticipate him playing poorly because I don't think they will put him in a position to play poorly. But I think if he goes out there and plays, you know, okay, or if he plays great, this is still Ryan Tannehill's team. But what it does is it gives him experience. It gives the coaches knowledge that, okay, this kid can do it, you know. We don't have to worry about him, you know, too much because we put him in a situation where, you know, it was last minute, and he didn't expect to play none this year. And now we throw him in the fire, and this kid did pretty good. So, you know what? I'm just going to, you know, put that in my back pocket and let it marinate. And when Ryan's ready to come back, if that's next week, Ryan's the starting quarterback. But I know I got this rookie behind me that if Ryan goes down again, I feel comfortable. Not just I, the team feels comfortable with Malik Willis being underneath center.
You know, you just said a key word, D, is you talk about potential. And I think that potential is a good and a bad word. Potential basically is hidden ability. That means you do have some ability. So if he goes out there and shows some ability that he can lead this team in the huddle, this ability to make plays, ability to make the right decisions, he may throw two touchdowns a day, and now it's going to start a quarterback controversy. I mean that could possibly happen. But if he doesn't, you know, play well today, I don't think you throw in the towel and say, he's terrible, he can't do anything. Be patient, trust the process, because at the end of the day, you got to get that hidden ability out.
What if he plays great?
It's going to be a quarterback controversy, 100%. If he throws two touchdowns or one touchdown and he plays okay, people are going to be screaming for him to play as opposed to Tannehill because they want to see something different.
I don't think it – and this is just me. I think this is the way that Vrabel and John Robinson operate. You know, it's not going to be, to me, I think if Willis goes out there and plays well, it's good. It puts them in a position to say, whew,
yeah.
I'm glad I think we sort of hit on this third round pick of Malik Willis. But I don't think it's, from the fans, it may be a quarterback controversy. The fans may, you know, we may hear calls left and right if Malik Willis plays well about put Malik in, let Ryan sit another week. But in that building, there's no controversy. They're like, if Ryan's healthy, he's our quarterback. If we need to lean back on Malik Willis, that's great. But Malik is not going to get us where we need to go this season. Maybe next year, maybe the year after that. But this season, with the team that we have, he's not capable. He doesn't have enough experience to do it because this is not a roster that's loaded with just playmakers everywhere. And you got to have a quarterback with some experience underneath center.
That takes us to third down. The defense, Chris Sanders,
yes.
If you're in that defensive room, if you're Byard, and we don't know if Jeffrey Simmons will play today, a game-time decision on Simmons. He did make the trip, though, to Houston. Yep. But if he's not in there, if you're David Long, if you're Byard, if you're Bud Dupree and Autry, how much are you guys talking amongst yourselves saying, hey, we're going to have to carry the load today against Davis Mills and the Texans, knowing that Ryan Tannehill's out on offense?
Yeah, I don't think they're worried about carrying the load. They're just going to put the guy.
They're kind of already doing that anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I was trying to say it, but you were right. But I just think that the way they're playing in each game, they're always in a position win. I mean, we look at last week. You know, somebody is always stepping up, making a play. When they went against the Commanders, David Long makes an interception. Then the past week, when they went against the Colts, a guy that I ain't even never heard of, Adams is, you know, getting a pick six. So, you know, I know Big Simmons is a big, physical, mean guy that's going to rush the quarterback. But just like what Vrabel does, he puts somebody in there. He doesn't change his scheme. He says, you know what, if you get in this position, I expect you to make the play. So I don't think that's going to change. They're just going to continuously make plays.
It's not much is going to change with what they do other than, you know, how they do it. Because it's not like the Titans got, you know, three variations of an offense. No, they got their offense. They know what they love to do, hand the ball off to Derrick Henry, get downhill, hit the tight ends, throw quick passes, play action. They're going to do the same thing, but it may look a little bit different with Malik Willis underneath center. There may be times where he's you know, taking those certain play action plays from the shotgun, as opposed to, you know, Ryan Tannehill taking it from underneath center, faking it to Derrick Henry, and then throw it. It may not be that way with Malik Willis, but I do expect them to, for the most part, to run a similar offense to what they ran with Ryan Tannehill, because to me they're both essentially, they both have the same skill set. I think Ryan Tannehill and Malik Willis, they both can use their legs to extend plays. They both can throw the ball down the field. Ryan just has way more experience at doing that, and he understands the game a lot better than Malik Willis.
That takes us to our fourth and final down. The Texans aren't very good, but last year they outscored the Titans in two games, 47-41, and they won the game at Nissan Stadium. Ryan Tannehill, four interceptions in that game. D-Mays, any worry about the Texans?
There's always worries about the Texans. I mean, even if Ryan Tannehill was a quarterback, you still got to worry about the Houston Texans.
Even if they were playing Vanderbilt today, I'd be worried. That's how I feel about the Titans with whoever they play.
I mean, but you got it's Houston. I mean, Lovie will have those guys ready to play. And, you know, it's still, you know, when they play the Tennessee Titans, there's that rivalry. You wanna win at home especially, and you wanna go to their place and win. So I expect this to be a hard fought game. I'm still worried about, you know, are they going to do enough to pull out a victory? I would have worried about that if Ryan Tannehill was the quarterback, considering how they played throughout the whole season. So it's not just a Malik Willis thing. It's just a Titan thing.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, I think this game, I mean, with our defense playing well, I think we're going to win the game, but I think it's going to be close. I mean, if you look at their offense, they have some weapons. I mean, they got Cooks, they got Collins, it has 305 yards. You got Mills, who's a quarterback that's got 13, you know, over 1,300 yards and five interceptions. They just got to figure out a way to create turnovers on defense. And if they can create turnovers on defense, they'll be fine.
Coming up next, we'll go inside the playbook on offense. What is Chris's guy Todd Downing going to come up with for the 31st ranked offense with Malik Willis at quarterback? Lord help us all. We'll do that next, live from Twin Peaks. It's the pregame crazy show on 102.5, 106.3, man. The game. Inside the Playbook is presented by Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company, live at Twin Peaks in Cool Springs on the pregame show. We start with Chris Sanders.
Yes, sir.
Because you are the one that expressed faith in Todd Downing earlier today on the program. Let me say this.
I didn't say faith, man.
Last week was the breaking point with me with Todd Downing.
Okay.
That was the moment. You know, I'm a very, like, line in the sand guy, and I try not to cross it, but I thought last week the play calling was horrendous against the Colts, especially the Malik Willis handoff that they decided to run in there.
Yeah.
I don't like Todd Downing. I think, you know, Todd Downing's history, everywhere he's been, the offense has gotten worse. I'm not saying this offense should be very good.
Right.
But they're 31st in the league by 2.3 yards a game ahead of Carolina. They should not be, and they've got a back quarterback in Malik Willis in there. So, Chris, what does your guy Todd Downing have to do today in order for the Titans to put something out there to beat the Texans?
You know, the number one thing that I don't want him to do is be
your
cute.
Guy.
Yeah, I don't want him to be cute and start putting Derrick in a wildcat and then putting him outside a receiver. Don't do it. Just basically keep it simple. I mean, you got Derrick Henry that has 536 rushing yards. You're going against the last rushing D in the league. Just make it simple. Give Derrick Henry the ball. Convert third downs. And that's how you win the game. I know that sounds kind of simple, kind of sounds cliche, but if you do those things, keep it simple, give Derrick Henry the ball at least between 35 and 40 times, because you don't want to put the ball in Malik's hands. And then, you know, put him in a position to where if he does get in trouble, you have a security blanket. You got Chig, you got the guy that you hate is Hooper.
Derrick hates Hooper, not me.
Oh, D-Mate, Hooper. Yeah. But figure out a way.
How about Hooper last week?
One catch,
a blind,
man.
Three.
A blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while.
He found three.
Okay,
he
blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. It was three in a package. That's why he found them, okay?
Okay. Hey, let me ask you this. How many games have we played?
I think they played already like 20 games.
How many catches he got?
Like three.
Seven.
So don't give me this. One game ain't going to do nothing for me.
Let me ask you guys this question. He made three big plays in the game. How many big plays has everybody else except for Derrick Henry made this year? How many big plays has Okonkwo made? Has he made three this year?
They got to put him in position to make plays.
They got to put him in position.
Has Swain made three big plays this year?
He's made two. Swain has made it two or three, yes. Big catches, yes.
I'm talking about big, game-changing plays.
Yes. First down.
Okonkwo has the one at the end of the Indianapolis game. How many does Woods have this year?
He has
game-changing plays.
But at least he has 20 catches.
I just think Austin Hooper deserves to play a little bit more. What do we make about the game plan for Malik today?
The only way I think you win this game is if you rely on your defense and your run game.
So are you prepared to go run, 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 punt?
Yes.
Yes and no. Because you can't become so one-dimensional that you show no faith in your quarterback to throw the football at all. If he throws the football in between 12 and 18 times or 20 times, that's what I'm good at. Because my thing is some of it's going to be rollout, some of it's going to be short passes, and then, they're going to take their shots. But with him, I would use a lot of screens, mm-hmm. whether it be wide receiver screens or running back screens, get him comfortable with getting the ball out of his hands. And seeing the defense. So I'm okay with what potentially the game plan can be if it starts off with Derrick Henry running the football, you using Malik Willis's legs to get outside the pocket. And if you want to, obvious pass downs, spread them out.
Yep.
Spread that Houston team out. Make them declare man or zone so the quarterback can read it very quickly. Don't get into two and three wide receivers on third down when it's third and five or third and six, because now it's gonna be easier for them to disguise. It's going to be harder for him to read. Spread them boys out. Let him pick a side and let him go.
I think they should run that flood or three-level concept to where he boots out and there's a receiver at the short level, middle level, and the deep level to where – if one of those guys are not open, then now you just run the ball. I mean, you just want to keep it very, very simple. I'm not saying he's not smart as a quarterback, but I just think that you want to keep it simple to where he doesn't have to go through so many reads and look at his first and second and third reads. He can just roll out and see, okay, he's not open. Number one's not open. Number two's not open. Number three's not open. Now I take off and run, and that's how you can get him to make some plays.
Derek, what do we know about Lovie Smith's defense? What do we expect Lovie Smith to do, knowing they're playing a quarterback who probably is going to be one read and run today?
Well, Lovey's going to make him earn it. I don't think Lovey is – because I think if you blitz him, you give up the ability for him to throw a deep pass down the field because you got to leave your corners one-on-one. Stingley is good. I give you that, but he's a rookie. I don't know who the other corner is.
Nelson.
But if you put those guys on the islands by themselves – it becomes 50-50 ball after that. Mm-hmm. And then if Malik hits one or two big plays, now you got his confidence built. What you do as a head coach, you make him earn it. Now, you're going to blitz him every once in a while, disguise it, but you make it. You don't think – what Lovie probably in his mind, I don't think this rookie can go 15 plays. I don't think he can go 10 plays mm-hmm. and drive a team down. He's going to make a mistake eventually, and we're going to capitalize on it. So I don't – look at Lovey as blitzing all day. I think he's going to make them earn it.
What do you think Lovey's going to make them do, though, for Derrick Henry? Because I would agree, I don't think Malik can go 15 yards or 15 plays down the field, but I do think they can hand it to 22 15 times down the field and move the ball effectively today.
Well, I'm sure they've scouted the Tennessee Titans enough.
My guess is team that plays the Titans, that's the number one key.
Exactly.
They're gonna
do whatever they need to do up front to stop Derrick Henry. But then they know that, hey, listen, if they can get the Titans behind the chains, that benefits them. Now I don't have to stack the box for Derrick Henry. Now I can play a zone and make Malik Willis read the defense. Because the more he has to read the defense, I'm sure Lovey's saying, the better it is for us as a team because he's a rookie.
Yeah, I think they're going to load. I think Lovey's going to load the box and dare to beat him in the passing game. I mean, they're going to go Imano on the outside, because who on the outside, the receiver, can really, you know, separate and get away from one of the man-to-man coverage? You got Woods. You got – who else they got? I don't know who else they got.
Westbrook
Akine. But there's no explosive plays down the field. So if I'm Lovey Smith, I'm going to put everybody in the box. I'm going to have those linebackers mugging the gaps and dare you to beat me in the passing game.
What do we make – I understand the idea about Todd Downing and, well, you know, the game plan needs to not put Malik in position to have to do this or to do that. But we all know the game dictates what Malik is going to have to do. They'd love Malik to throw it 9 times today.
Yeah.
I'm convinced
yeah.
of that.
Yeah.
What if the Titans find themselves in a lot of passing situations? Because if I'm Lovey, I'm loading the box on first and second down, trying to keep Derrick Henry from making it third and manageable, and I put Malik Willis in 3rd and 13. Then what?
That's when you use the, you know, the rollouts, the boots, the nekets, get him outside the pocket, force those linebackers to come up. Now there's a void in that defense. Those quick end routes, those slant routes, those curl routes. That's what you hit, those middle of the field routes, those tight ends. Find a way to get those tight ends involved in the game, this game. So, to me, if Lovey's going to put those extra men in the box, the only way you get them out of it is if you play action.
Yeah.
Fake to that guy, let those linebackers come down, and then throw it over their heads.
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes what you have to do, if you see a man-to-man outside and they start to blitz and send pressure off the slot or wherever, whatever, but he sometimes just got to throw it up and let one of those guys make a play. So that's why Westbrook and Woods and those guys have to figure out a way to create separation and not just rely on catching the ball, but helping your quarterback and making a specific play.
How do we feel about Malik in a 2-minute situation?
You scared us at the beginning.
I mean, I am scared.
Yeah, hopefully they won't have to be in a 2-minute situation. But if they are, you know what? I'm not worried, but I think he would operate better in a 2-minute situation. Why? Because in his mind, I can use my legs now, because all they want me to do is advance the football. If it's not there, I can run. It's not like it's, you know, the beginning of the first quarter and we're only like 2 minutes in. Well, now we're running the offense. No, if I got to get into a 2-minute situation, now all bets are off. I got to do whatever I need to do as a quarterback to advance this team and stay ahead of the chains.
Yeah, just looking at Malik, I think what they have to do is kind of like, and I'm not comparing him to Mariota. I'm just giving the principle. Mariota, when he thrived, is when he did the 2-minute, because he didn't have to think. He didn't have to go through his reads. He didn't have to go through progression. He just let his athleticism take over. And that's the same thing with Malik Willis. When it comes to the 2 minutes, I know he fumbled, and I mean, he threw it away on 4th down. That's going to be correctable. But just let him use his athleticism. Let him use it of not having to think and just make plays with his legs and try to throw the ball down the field.
Coming up, we'll take a look at the defense. Is Jeffrey Simmons going to be in or out? What do they do with him? What do they do without him? We'll discuss that next. Live at Twin Peaks, it's the pregame show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Inside the Playbook is presented by Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company, here live from Twin Peaks on the pregame show. Jeffrey Simmons is a game-time decision. We'll probably know more in the next 30 minutes as to whether or not Simmons is a go today for the Titans on defense. But Chris Sanders,
yes,
we start with this. The Titans defense last week against Indianapolis, the Titans did not score an offensive touchdown. The Titans defense, 2 interceptions of Matt Ryan. They force a fumble late. What do we make of the defense? What do we make of them today against the Houston Texans?
You know, I think the statistics are really telling a lie. I mean, I know they're 31st or whatever in defense, but the thing that I love about this defense is they're creating turnovers. You just talked about it a minute ago. They had 3 turnovers. Adams made an interception, you know, for a pick 6, so they're scoring on defense. And the thing about it is, too, Jared, is, you know, they're one of those defense they're bend and don't break. Yes, they give up a lot of plays in the passing game. Yes, they give up some in the running game. But when it's time to stiffen up, somebody different steps up and make a play. I talked about it earlier with David Long Jr. against the Commanders. He makes another interception against the Colts. And then you have Adams, who I've never heard of, comes up and make a pick 6. So if they keep playing, you know, bend and don't break defense, they're always going to put the Titans in position to be successful and win.
Well, this defense is – it's sort of like when last year with the Buffalo Bills, and they were the number one defense in the National Football League. And every week what my eyes was seeing and what the stats were telling me were totally two different things, because they were giving up chunks of plays in a run game, and it didn't look like the number one defense overall in the National Football League. I think that's where the Titans are. They rank at the bottom or the bottom half of the NFL, but when you watch them, they're a good red zone defense. They're a good third down defense. They're opportunistic. At least they have been for the last, four games. This is a defense that the stats doesn't tell how good they are playing to me. Because, yeah, if I don't watch the Titans and I look at, you know, where they are compared to the other NFL teams, I would say, man, this defense is horrible. But then when you watch them, you're like, man, this defense is pretty good, you know. And sometimes that happens in the NFL. I think the defense will do their hold their own. But my thing is, how much or if at all will Jeffrey Simmons play? That's going to be – that loss to me is bigger than the Ryan Tannehill loss.
Oh, God.
It is. Loss is bigger than the Ryan Tannehill loss. I'm not saying Ryan Tannehill is not important to what they do. But at least I have control over. At least I have control as an offensive coordinator on what I can do with my backup quarterback. What I can do, what I can't do. I can hand the ball off to Derrick Henry 100 times if I want to. Nobody's going to get upset with me. Well, as a defensive coordinator, I can't cover up for the loss of Jeffrey Simmons. Mm-hmm. And Bud Dupree got a hamstring, and he may leave in the first quarter. That's two guys you're down now. I don't know what to do as a defensive coordinator, because no one on my team is Jeffrey Simmons. Yep. Nobody. I don't have his backup. He is not Jeffrey Simmons. Someone I may pull off a practice squad is not Jeffrey Simmons. Nobody on the team is Jeffrey Simmons. So replacing him is going to be huge.
And you know what? Say that one more time again, though.
I said
the thesis.
I said nobody is Jeffrey Simmons.
The opening thesis to this.
Oh, I think losing Jeffrey Simmons, if Jeffrey can't play, it's going to be bigger than losing 100%. Ryan Tannehill.
Oh,
can I explain it to him?
Yes.
You know why? You know why? Because you're in the secondary, you have Fulton, you have Farley, you have Hooker, and you have McCray. If they don't get to the quarterback, you're going to see a whole bunch of explosive
plays. I don't disagree with that.
That's why he's bigger than him getting, what's the name of the other guy?
But if I can't throw.
You got Derrick Henry.
Like
they can throw the ball, Jarrett.
Jarrett.
I mean, they can't throw the ball now with Tannehill. You're talking about throwing the ball with Malik. Now, I'm going to say, Simmons is a great player. He's a great player. He's the number two defensive tackle in the NFL behind Donald, and I think he's closing that gap from where he started the season. I'm not disagreeing with that. Bud Dupree, to me, is a humongous part of this defense. I know some people don't agree with that. But I do think that Bud Dupree is the A.J. Brown of the Titans defense.
Oh,
that is, I can't ever count on him to stay healthy. But when he's in there, he makes big plays. And, I mean, the two interceptions, all pressure from Bud Dupree last Sunday against Matt Ryan. I do believe in that. So if Simmons is out, I still have Tart. I still have Strong.
Autry.
I still have Dupree. I still have all those guys. I wouldn't talk about quarterback.
Hey, Jarrett. Why is Bud Dupree getting all those sacks or why is he able to do the things he's able to do?
He did them in Pittsburgh.
No. Why was he able to do them in Pittsburgh? You tell me who they had on the other side of that they had to worry about.
J.J. Watt. They said J.J. Watt was worse when Bud Dupree got hurt.
Nobody said that.
No. Let me tell you something about the Pittsburgh
Steelers.
When
Jeffrey Simmons is not in the game,
it changes the game.
It changes everything. But Dupree benefits off of Jeffrey Simmons.
He makes who gets double teamed.
I don't disagree
Jeffrey
with that.
Simmons. But Dupree don't get double teamed.
Absolutely.
I don't disagree with the fact that Jeffrey Simmons makes Bud Dupree better. But the Steelers in 2020 won every game. Bud Dupree tore his ACL in the Washington game. They lost that game. And then the Steelers.
We don't know who else was injured. We don't know who else was injured beside him.
That's all I'm saying. This defense, when Bud's
and
not
that
in
offense
there,
was horrible.
They're 28th in the league. When Bud's in there, you guys are like, man, this defense
in the
is
league.
So good.
They're 28th in the league.
I don't think
there.
The stats really count.
No, he's 20, 31st.
But I'm not saying Simmons isn't great. But against the Texans, I believe the defense should be able to hold their own. The thing is, though, is I'm worried they're going to be asking the defense to do too much because they're not going to let Malik do anything. That's my theory.
I mean, and you might be right about that. I'm not saying that you're wrong. They may ask the defense to do just a little bit more. And it's not just the defense. It's everybody. Yep. Everybody has to elevate their game around the rookie quarterback. Vrabel, I'm sure, has told him that. I'm sure the wide receiver coach has told the wide receivers, hey, listen, guys, we got to make sure we're doing what we're supposed to do. We're at where we're supposed to be at all times because we're going with the rookie quarterback. We don't want to confuse this guy at all. So everybody needs to elevate their play. Derrick Henry, the offensive line, the receivers, tight ends. Everybody needs to elevate their play because of the rookie quarterback.
Jeffrey Simmons made the trip. No walking boot on the ankle. Anything we make of that until they announce the actives and actives?
He's going to start, but I think – I don't know if he's going to finish. You know, I mean – I don't know. I mean, it's thrown up in the air. It all depends on how he warms up when he comes out. You know, you can walk and you can do therapy, whatever it is. But you're never going to really know how you feel until you actually get on the field, until you actually do warm up and you actually start cutting. Then we'll get a chance to see what he can do.
Last year, the Titans played the Texans in the last game of the year. The Texans had nothing to play for. The Titans were playing for the number one seed in the AFC. Titans had a big lead at the half. Davis Mills, though, an incredible second half. He finished with a passer rating of 128.5 in the second half. They took the Titans down to the wire. The Titans barely hung on to beat the Texans. What do we make of that second half Davis Mills had? And just for comparison, Davis Mills had a passer rating of 61.9 at halftime and finished with a passer rating of 128.5. What do we make of Davis Mills against the Titans?
That he can get on the hot streak. That young man can get on the he can get on a streak and can be just as good as anybody is on a Sunday. You know, he has the ability to be a quarterback in this league. Now, is he a full-time starter? I don't know because I don't watch the Houston Texans a lot. But obviously, they think enough of him that he is their starting quarterback now. But last year tells you, if you allow them to stay in the game, if you give them confidence, then he's capable of making plays. With his arm, he's capable of making plays with his legs. But the Titans, they can't give him the confidence that he can do that. Last year was last year. There's different people on the Titans defense. It may not be better. And there are different people on the Houston Texans offense. So, you know, do I expect him to have another great game like he did in the second half? No, I don't. I think this Tennessee Titans team will take that away from him. They will force them to force Houston Texans to beat them another way and not throw on the football.
You know, I still think that he feels that he has something to prove. I mean, if you look at last year when they played against him, I mean, he had a chance to win. I know Tannehill made a heroic play on the last, you know, play on the last series, but he wants to prove something that he can play in this league, and why not do it against the Titans?
By the way, in that game, Danny Amendola absolutely went bananas on the Titans in his final game. I mean, that was, in my opinion, a complete quit job from the Titans, who went into the locker room up 21-0 at halftime and thought the game was over, and they ended up winning 28-25. Who's in, who's out? We will be getting, now it's a little later because it's a late game today, we will be getting the inactives for today's game. We will see if Jeffrey Simmons is in or if Jeffrey Simmons is out for today's game for the Titans against the Texans. On the other side, scores from around the NFL, though, as the early games are rocking and rolling, and they are underway. The Falcons are up on the Panthers, 14-10 at the half. The Bears trail the Cowboys, 28-14, though the Bears are driving. The Lions, a surprise, 24-17 over the Dolphins. The Vikings, 14-10 over the Cardinals late in the second quarter. The Saints all over the Raiders, 17-0 at the half.
Jeez.
That's bad for the Raiders. The Jets up 10-6 over the Patriots. And the Eagles are up 21-10 on the Steelers. A.J. Brown has 5 catches for 3 touchdowns. All 21 points that the Eagles have on the Steelers. So we'll be keeping an eye on that one as well. We'll take a look at the injury report on the other side. We'll do that live from Twin Peaks. It's the pregame show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Come on, Peter.